In our Sunday morning services, we're working our way through John's Gospel, and we've reached this passage in John chapter 16. And we've seen that in these passages towards the end of John's Gospel, Jesus is with his 11 disciples. And all these words are addressed to his 11 disciples, and he's speaking to them about his death. Now, this passage, the theme of this passage is joy. The word joy or the word rejoice occurs 5 times in this passage. And it is clearly the theme of the passage because Jesus obviously makes it the central point of it. He says to them, I'm going away and you will be sorrowful because I'm going away. But then he says to them, you will see me again and your sorrow will turn to joy. And he speaks about this joy. And he says to them that when you see me risen, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about his resurrection. And he says, yes, in a little while you won't see me because I will be arrested. I'll be crucified in a cross and I will be put in a tomb and you won't see me. But then he says, in a little while you will see me. And that obviously is a reference to his resurrection. And he says, when you see the risen Savior, your hearts will be filled with joy. Because the risen Savior, Jesus risen from the dead, brings joy to his people. That is my theme this morning. The joy of the Lord in his people, particularly the risen Savior and the joy that he brings to his people. Now, before we look at the passage and the reasons why the risen Savior brings joy to his people, let me just say one thing about joy. Christian joy is not linked to our circumstances here on earth. God's people, through the ages, have been through some terrible trials. They've been through some terrible persecutions. And yet, they've always had joy. Our joy is not linked to our circumstances here on earth. Our joy does not come from our circumstances here on earth. It's not the case that we're saying to the Lord, well, we're in difficulties at the moment, so we don't have joy. But the moment you remove our difficulties and give us a good life, then we will have joy. That is not how the Bible works. The Bible says that we can be going through some dreadful trials, dreadful difficulties, and yet at the same time, through those trials and through those difficulties, while in the midst of them, we can have great joy. The Apostle Peter wrote some words in the Bible. These are some words that are found in the Bible. And this is what the Apostle Peter wrote to the people to whom he was writing. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is now in heaven. Though you have not seen him, he says, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You see what he's saying to his readers. He's saying, yes, you do not see the Lord Jesus. He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. But you believe in him, and he says, you rejoice. You notice it's present tense. He's not saying you will one day rejoice, and you will one day have joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. He says, today you rejoice, and you have joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Now let me ask you this question. To whom were these words written? And as we read that letter that the Apostle Peter wrote, we find that the people to whom he was writing were being persecuted for their Christian faith. Much of the letter that he wrote was written to explain to Christians, teach Christians how to handle persecution, how to live as a Christian in the midst of persecution, and how to follow the example of the Lord Jesus when you're being persecuted. In that letter, he speaks about fiery trials. He says, why, when you face fiery trials, are you surprised as if something strange were happening to you? So the people to whom this letter was written were not wealthy people with all the material possessions of life and in a wonderful place with, you know, tremendous lives and holidays and possessions and so on. There were people in villages in what is today Turkey, and they were facing tremendous persecution. Indeed, those fiery trials probably were literal fiery trials. And yet Peter says to them, you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. I want to say this to you. Christian joy is a blessing that the Lord Jesus secured for us at the cross of Calvary. It is something that is our birthright. Christian joy is something that we should have and ought to have. And if we don't have, we ought to ask God for it. I will speak about that more later. Can I quote my favorite preacher, Dr. Lloyd-Jones? And Dr. Lloyd-Jones said this to his congregation, if you do not have joy, you need to go to God and ask Him for it. I wonder if you've ever done that. I wonder if you've ever gone to God and said to Him, I don't have joy in my life. Will you give me joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory? Will you give me that? You gave it to your people in the New Testament. Can I have that? This is something that Christ has secured for us. So we're looking at this theme this morning, that the risen Jesus, the risen Christ, brings joy to His people. And I want to ask the question, well, why? Why does Jesus say to His disciples, you won't see me now and your hearts will be filled with sorrow, but then in a little while you will see me and you will have joy. And He speaks about joy again and again, 5 times in this passage. Why is it that the risen Jesus brings joy to His people? Well, there are 3 reasons, and I want to bring those 3 reasons to you this morning. And the first reason is this. Because we are forgiven and reconciled with God. Because we are forgiven and reconciled with God. What is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Father saying, I have accepted the sacrifice that He has offered on behalf of His people. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the guarantee that those who believe in Christ, their sins have been forgiven. They have been redeemed from slavery to sin. The wrath of God that hung upon them has been turned aside. They have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of God. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the vindication of His death on the cross. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the guarantee that if you have believed in Him, your sins have been forgiven and you have been reconciled to God, and God is your Father. This is the meaning of the resurrection. Because the Lord Jesus died for these things on the cross. When He went to that cross, our sins were laid upon Him and He paid the penalty for our sins. And He shed His blood. We're going to come to the Lord's table in a few minutes. And we're going to remember all these things. That He shed His blood. That we who were slaves of sin were brought out of sin. Removed and redeemed out of sin. And we who had the wrath of God upon us. And the displeasure and the anger of God upon us. Christ on the cross took our sins upon Him. And the anger of God was poured out upon Him. And God is now pacified because He has poured out all His anger upon His Son. Christ has removed the anger of God. Christ has removed the penalty of sin. Christ has redeemed us from slavery to sin. Christ has brought us into the Father's presence. And has reconciled us to the Father. Christ has given us a hope of heaven. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is where salvation is found. And this is why on a regular basis we come to the table and we remember the death of Christ. It is here that our salvation is found. It is here that we find forgiveness of sin. It was a lovely picture, wasn't it? And I remember reading Pilgrim's Progress. And I remember this story of how this man called Christian had this burden on his back. this is heavy. He had this burden on his back. And he was walking around. He was actually, it's a very interesting story. He was actually reading the Bible. He was walking around in the fields reading the Bible. And the more that he read his Bible, the heavier his backpack became, because the more conscious he became of his sin and the more he realized how much he had offended a holy God. And then one day, in the mercies of God, he met a man called Evangelist. And Evangelist said to him, "Look there in the distance, what do you see?" And he looked and he said, "I can see a cross." And Evangelist said, "Go there. That's the only place where your sin can be dealt with. That's the only place where you will find forgiveness. That's the only place where you will be redeemed from the power of sin. You go to the cross. You don't turn to empty religion. You go to the cross." And so Christian began to make his way to the cross. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, I cannot recommend it highly enough. A wonderful book. And he makes his way to the cross. He trudges along with this weight getting heavier and heavier to the cross. And he gets to the cross and he walks up to it, and miraculously the burden is removed and rolls down away and is gone. It has disappeared. His sins have been forgiven and he rejoices. That's the wonder of it, you see, that he rejoices. He doesn't just say, "Oh, I'm so glad that burden's gone now. I can now get on with my life." His heart is filled with joy, because his sins have been dealt with. And Jesus says to his disciples, "You will see me risen, and your hearts will be filled with joy," because the risen Jesus is the guarantee that our sins have been forgiven. May I briefly ask you some questions this morning? Are you conscious, are you aware that there is a burden on your back? Do you have this knowledge that you are a sinner before God? Are you conscious of this truth, that you have offended a holy God and there is guilt on you because of what you have done against God's law? Do you wrestle with your sin? Is it something that troubles you? Is this something that comes to your mind and worries you? "I have done things that are wrong in the sight of God." Have you ever gone to the Lord Jesus himself and asked him to save you from your sins? Have you ever gone to the Lord Jesus and said to him, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me?" Have you ever believed in him? You know, he's a gracious Savior, by which I mean he gives free forgiveness. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to come to church in order to earn it. You don't have to do good things in order to be worthy of it. We will never be worthy of the blessings of God. But you go to him and you ask him to save you, and he will save you. He will remove your burden of sin, and he will make you right with God. So the first reason why the risen Jesus brings joy to his people is because they are forgiven and they are reconciled with God. And then the second reason why the risen Jesus brings joy to his people is because they have a wonderful high priest to intercede for them. On the third day, Christ rose from the dead. And after a little while, he ascended into heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven today. What is he doing? Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He is intimately involved in the lives of every one of his millions and millions of people here on earth. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Lord of glory, the King of the universe, is intimately involved in your life today. He is conscious of every situation and of every issue that you are facing today. He is conscious of it. We must remember, he is God. And God is not like man. You know, I might be involved with some of you here in the sense that I know the issues that you're going through in your life, but I can't know them through and through. And I can't know every issue that you're going through. I certainly can't know every issue that every one of you here is going through. I'm only a human being. I have issues myself. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And He is therefore able to listen to the prayers of every one of His millions of people on earth today. Today, Sunday, all over the world, God's people will be gathering. In the East, they've already had their services. We are having our services now. And in the West, they will have their services a few hours later. And God's people will be bringing worship to Him. And God's people will pray to Him. And God's people will bring their adoration to Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ listens to everyone individually. He listens to them. Every prayer, He listens to it. And every person who comes to Him, He knows you through and through. He knows who you are. When you come to Him in prayer, you don't have to say, my name is so and so, I live in this place, and I'm one of your people, you saved me from my sin. May I just introduce myself to you, and may I just tell you some of the issues I'm going through. He knows who you are. When He died for you, He had your name on His breastplate, on His heart. He died for you personally. He knows who you are. He knows your situation. Because He is the great high priest of His people. Now there's a verse in the book of Hebrews that I find, actually a couple of verses, that I find hugely encouraging. This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Because you see, Jesus lived on this earth as a man. He went through all the issues of life. The issues that you face, He faced. The anxieties and the stresses and the troubles and the trials that you face, He faced. He went through them. So He knows what you're going through. So we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he's gone through every situation that we've been through. And when you go to Him and you say, I've got this anxiety, I've got this difficulty, I've got this trial, He can say, I know what you're facing, and He means it. Do you know, no human being can say that honestly to another one. I can't say to you, I know exactly what you're going through, because I don't. We're human. But He can say, I know exactly what you're going through. So not only does He understand, not only does He sympathize, but look at the way this verse goes on. It says, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So not only does He hear, not only does He listen, not only is He sympathetic, but He's actually able to help. Now, if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, I would say to you, go and read your Bible again, particularly the book of Hebrews, and read about Jesus, your great high priest. If this doesn't thrill your heart, that seated at the right hand of the Father is my Savior who loves me, who knows me through and through, who knows every situation that I'm going through, and who is intimately involved in every situation, and who is there to help me, support me, strengthen me, and encourage me through every situation in my life. If that doesn't bring you joy, surely there's something wrong. We've surely misunderstood Christ. Do you know, friends, Christian joy is the most ordinary of things. I think we sometimes separate the secular and the sacred. You know how people say, oh, there are some things you do which are of this earth, and there are other things that you do which are holy. Do you know, actually, in the Bible, that doesn't exist. Everything that we do in our lives are under the power of God, under the observation of God, and are all a gift from God. When we leave this service and we have some coffee together and enjoy fellowship, That's a gift of God, the joy of Christian fellowship. You go home and you'll have your lunch and you'll have tasty food. That's a gift of God. That is the joy that God gives to his people, simply enjoying the provisions that he gives to us. You enjoy a walk in the country. You go into the country and you enjoy a walk. You look at the birds and the trees. And in a few weeks when spring comes and life begins again, well, it's a joyful time. This is a gift from God. This is holy. This is right. This is what we are meant to do, to enjoy Christ in his creation, in his provisions for us. So the risen Christ brings joy to his people, because they are forgiven and reconciled. He brings joy to his people because they have a wonderful high priest to intercede for them. And then thirdly and finally, he brings joy to his people because they have a sure hope of heaven. The Bible speaks of the risen Christ as the first fruits. And it means that he was the template. It means that what God the Father did with the Lord Jesus, he will do with all his people, all who trust in him. Because God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And God the Father gave him a resurrection body, a body that will never age, that will never die, that will never deteriorate, but will continue to worship God in fullness. And the risen Jesus in his resurrection body went into heaven to be in the presence of God the Father. And that is a template, that is a pattern for what he's going to do for every one of us. Because one day we will all have a resurrection body. You will have a resurrection body. Perhaps you're getting old. Well, we're all getting old. And perhaps you're beginning to feel the effects of old age. And you're seeing in your body the effects of old age. We all feel that. And I say this to you, one day, the Lord Jesus will give you a new body. This is not fiction. This is not pipe dream. This is not some vague fantasy. This is reality. This really will happen. The Lord Jesus will give you a resurrection body, a new body, a body that will never age, that will never deteriorate, that will never die. Your eyesight will never become weaker. Your hearing will never go, and your sense of taste and smell and so on will never deteriorate. You will continue in eternity in a resurrection body to enjoy God's creation, to enjoy God's love, to enjoy God's people in heaven. Heaven is God's people in a resurrection body, actually here on earth, enjoying all the blessings that God has given us without any hindrance from sin. That is the Christian hope. And the Lord Jesus in his resurrection is the pattern, is the template for that. And so all who are Christians, all who have trusted in the Lord Jesus, all who have asked him to save them from their sins, all who have had the burden removed and gone forever, we have this hope. One day we will be with Christ in eternity, in a physical body, but one that will never deteriorate and die, enjoying him, enjoying his love, enjoying each other. Will you be there? Have you been saved? Do you know the forgiveness of your sins? Has your burden been dealt with? If you are a Christian here this morning, born again, saved through the cross of Christ and through his death on that cross, then that hope is yours. And that is why we rejoice. So the three reasons why the risen Christ brings joy to his people. We are forgiven and reconciled. We have a wonderful high priest who intercedes for us. And we have a sure hope of heaven.